Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Into the Nexus with us, loyal Patreon subscribers, because this is the August edition of our Star Trek recap show. My name is Andrew Jupin, and I'm alongside three fellow assimilated Borg. We have Steven Sadak.
I am Sadak of Borg. Bah, bah, bah. Robot voice.
Chris Gavin.
Doesn't it have to be like say Dukas or something like that?
Yeah.
It can't just be your name, Steve.
Yeah, he would be Dukius.
Yeah, look, like I'm trying to give it, but also hello, everybody.
And Eric Siska.
Hi, I'm also Borg, and you can tell because my one arm is like 5 feet longer than the other arm. That's going to go away in a second. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to need some extra spinny things on this arm.
Ooh, a couple of doohickeys on my arm.
It's just getting hotter, this Borg cube. Thank goodness I have this fan on my fist.
I have a fork and a spoon and a knife. I can just eat with one hand now.
I'm a walking Swiss Army knife.
Swiss Army man, I have flatulence.
Yes, of course, this is a very special episode of The Nexus. We are bypassing TOS to talk about the two parts of The Best of Both Worlds, the first part of which was Season 3, Episode 26, original air date June the 16th, 1990, and we'll say both of these parts here are indeed written by Michael Piller and magnificently, I will say, directed by Cliff Ball. Also, magnificent writing. This is some of my favorite Star Trek of all time. I'll get this out of the way.
It is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was actually these two episodes are the first TNG episodes I ever saw.
Wow.
Because I had no access to TNG growing up for whatever reason, even though my parents had a satellite dish. We didn't have local networks. For some reason, we never had like UPN or WB or any of that.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't see it, but I went and saw all the movies in the theater, so I saw First Contact and I tracked this down.
How did you do that back in 1998? You get it on tapes or 96 or whenever that
I always remembered that these existed, and then once torrents existed.
Oh, I saw theater seeing First Contact and found these episodes.
I was enamored by the Borg, and I eventually tracked it down. These were my introduction to the show as a show.
It was an actual torrent. You weren't like going to a message board and getting a mailed tape from Artemis Frog 69.
No, I didn't get into many Chris Cabin-esque adventures.
Hey, look, there was a lot to be found out there.
You doing the little tape tray, mail boy?
Got far into that. I think that time passed me by. I think I got in right after that was a thing.
Oh, actually, I have audio of Chris Cabin at one of those very moments right here. Need to know star RM pick.
I didn't watch this show. Like, I definitely watched, I did watch this as a kid, but I watched it mostly in syndication. Like, I probably watched like the last like two seasons, maybe three in sequence, but this is a little early for me. So I definitely kind of just caught this and I was like, holy shit. But like, I knew it was going on because it would get so referenced later on.
Right.
It was kind of cool whenever I caught these for the first time, being like, oh, this is the cool fucking double feature thing.
Right. And it's kind of interesting because like there's a lot of two-parters on TNG. DS9 and Voyager did it too. Like, and a lot of them just feel like even we just did, or maybe I just watched it. I don't really remember. All the stuff with when Sarek returns, and then you've got it is later in the series. I float around on TNG like late at night sometimes. So I did rewatch the whole Sarek and Spock thing a while back, and like that kind of just feels like a long episode of TV, like, which is fine. It's awesome. This feels like a TNG movie while the show is still on the air, which is kind of cool.
It really does. Oh, there's it's moving so fast. It's like there's not a lot of room for other bullshit.
Well, what's interesting is what I was reading about was a lot of this kind of came on. They wanted to end on a cliffhanger for a lot of reasons. A, for the excitement, but B, because a lot of people had like contracts up and they didn't know who was coming back.
Right.
Specifically, even what do you call it there? Patrick Stewart. They were like, maybe that's it. Yeah. Maybe that's
more
the
than
end
any.
Of it.
Yeah, he's just getting bored now.
I mean, and you think at the end of this episode, it's like, Mr. Worf, fire. And I guess if he just said, fuck this shit, man, they would be like, oh, wow, he blew him up.
Yep.
Holy shit, he blowed up.
Exactly right, dude. Exactly right. This was his escape plan if he did not choose to come back. And like, they set it up accordingly. You already have like your new captain in place.
Yes.
Yada.
That is funny. Like, you know, like the whole, like, thing about the SAG strike now, it's just like, well, you know, if you don't come down, maybe you're just a dead computer. I don't know. You're just a dead computer guy.
I still do think they should be thanking their lucky stars that he came back. Because
as
much as I love William Frakes, I need my pet Stu. I need him here.
You need him. Definitely.
He's the star power here, baby.
Yeah, and I think like everybody kind of knew that. You know what I mean? But it's
we're at
like,
his whim. We can't get rid of him.
Like, well, that, but also, I don't know, kind of like, I don't. You think Mr. Shakespeare's going to stick around too much longer or what?
Exactly.
You know? But yeah, so we start off, the Enterprise is investigating a far-off in Federation space colony that has gone out of communique, and we get a classic, this is a classic away team combo right here. Riker, Geordi, Worf, and Data. Fucking dream team gets down there.
When they get down there, it's kind of like a TOS away mission. That's like,
Jim boy, there's nothing here.
Almost like they sucked all the money out of our budget.
a money vacuum came down.
Oh, great. Here comes another Batman character painted two colors. Oh, hi there.
Oh, hello, Oswald. Oh, whatever you're going to be this week.
Are the rocks going to shake a little bit? Are the very heavy rocks going to shake behind me?
They do. I like this opening, though, because it does remind me a lot of The Thing when they find the crater there, because they go to New Providence colony, and there's this huge fucking crater where the colony was supposed to be. 900 souls no longer there.
I love a good exploring a crevasse.
It's eerie as hell. The map painting's awesome, and it's on the heels of Riker giving it to O'Brien, because like they beam down and like we hear all the stats of like how many people are supposed to be around or whatever, and Riker's like, Chief O'Brien, I asked you to beam us right to the center of the population. Where the fuck are we? And like O'Brien has to be like, them's the coordinates, buddy. You're supposed to be in the center of town, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm not seeing a cheese shop. I'm not seeing an Applebee's. I don't know. No remnants of society whatsoever.
They beam down, and Riker's like, motherfucker, that potato O'Brien!
Heard the potato part, sir.
I'm gonna reconstitute you 3 inches shorter now.
I don't appreciate the James Joyce comment either. You can keep those thoughts to yourself.
Wow, it seems like they're rowing.
But it is a really awesome cold open, because it's that quick.
Yes.
You're supposed to be in the center of town, and you look at this awesome map painting of a huge fucking hole in the ground, and you know something's up.
Also, like, don't beam me down to Times Square. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe a really nice little outskirts, maybe.
Right.
Would be nice.
Hell's Kitchen. That's it.
Exactly.
Hell's Kitchen.
That's right.
We get the captain's log. Yes, 900 souls fucking gone. And we got this admiral here telling them, so we kind of knew the Borg's been on their way for like a year now. Sorry we didn't say anything sooner.
Did you guys look up this actor?
I did.
Yes, the dude playing Admiral Hansen.
Yes, played God in Star Trek V and Testakoff in Seinfeld.
Yes, and that dude is one of, Chris Cabin will appreciate this, he's one of the elders on the X-Files.
Hell yes.
Your American drone is sneaking around. You're running from something.
That noise. That noise.
Always with the sneakers. but yeah, so we do meet Admiral Hansen here. I can't remember if he's been on the show before, but this is where we meet Commander Shelby, who is from Starfleet Tactical, played by Elizabeth Dennehy, who is indeed the daughter of the late, great Brian Dennehy. That, well, thankfully for her, doesn't look much like her father.
No, she does not. I
mean, she's not a seven-foot lumbering beast of a man.
That's a tough, I mean, you know, like a standard joke about, oh, got to meet the dead. You got to go down and meet the dead, and it's Ooh. Brian fucking Dennehy.
No, thanks. You know what, Liz? You can get a cheeseburger with somebody else.
Well, that's how you know you could trust her, is because she's had to live under his roof and, like, talk back to him once or twice.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So you know she can handle herself in any situation.
That's fair, yeah. I think I would just be eyes down in a Dennehy household.
Oh yeah, exactly. Dude.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have had the first slice of pizza. You're right. I shouldn't have done that.
Dude,
I should have.
That. You're just like walking around your house. You're growing up or whatever, and then suddenly a hand as big as a wall just hits you in the back, smacks you in the back of the head.
Dude, if Brian Dennehy ever said to me the words, "Where do you think you're going?" I'd fucking turn to dust immediately.
To the pants store to get new pants, because I have piss and shit all over mine. I am sorry about that.
And he's gonna hit you for that too.
It's gonna be a cycle. It's gonna be a perpetual cycle. I'm gonna just keep on having to get new pants.
Liz Dennehy's autobiography isn't out. We're not sure if Brian Dennehy hit anybody, but you know,
I hope not.
There's gotta be clear. We're having
all,
a little.
Accounts was that he was a
great
giant.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. He's gonna hit me from beyond the grave.
Yeah, I hope he fucking does. I hope he comes to you in a dream tonight and smacks the shit out of you.
God, if I could open like a plane of existence in the dream world to Brian Dennehy, I'll accept it, even if I get bruised.
She's smart because this character, Shelby, because she's like, you know what? There's that. We got this crazy report from the Enterprise, one of the many crazy reports you get from the Enterprise, where they got beamed 100 light years away and faced this unstoppable enemy. My new thing is I'm going to be the lady that's obsessed with the Borg. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Then yep. That is going to get you really good promotions.
Because yeah. It's like you're on the forefront of, like, you know, Star Trek tactical tech, you know, right. Issues and enemies, nemesis,
and
whatnot.
Also like, well, you know, not a lot of people know about them. Yeah, they're 7 feet tall. Like,
hell yeah.
Make up stats to, like, elevate your platform.
I mean, also think about the time. I mean, like, I guess it might have just came out, like, Clarice Starling, like. Where do you go? You go to serial killers. Where do you go? You go to the Borg. That's right. Where all the attention is right now.
It is great. This guy. So basically, you know, she's like, we have these weapons, but they're actually not quite ready yet. I'm, you know, a genius about the Borg, so I'm going to stay on your ship. And the Admiral's like, she's great with the Borg, so you just have her on for a couple days. She leaves with Riker. They have like kind of a, you can tell already they're chafing a touch. This guy. I think because him and Picard are friends, and Picard's like, oh, you seem quite taken with Admiral Hansen.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, just another old man's fantasies. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Dusty boners in the office.
Here's exactly what that means, as far as I understand it. What he's telling his old pal Jean-Luc is the following. Yes, I've jerked off thinking about this yeah. woman, but no, I would never, ever think to make a move IRL.
And me, coming from Picard's point of view, cut that shit out, man. I don't want to hear about your boner fantasies. Just yeah, keep totally. Them away from me. God damn it, Hansen.
Old man's fantasies. I'm like, come on,
oh, that is repellent. Meanwhile, I'm going to fantasize about my crew doctor and her in the Victorian era.
Yeah, yes.
Her working in a coal factory of some kind.
Oh, and I'm, of course, the stodgy land baron.
having to take her off 4 different knots just to see her brassiere.
it was so much sexier back then. By the way, I love the Admiral. His uniform has that like deep, deep V. It's almost like I'm wearing a tie or something.
Yeah. It is a cool Admiral design. Like, you know, you don't see a ton of like Admirals on the show, but when they pop up, they always do a little something to make them look a little better dressed than the captains, I think.
And but his thing is like, so what the fuck is good? He's like, and she'd be, you know, she, you know, not to be whatever, but she'd be a great first officer for you. He's like, oh no, dude, I'm pretty set at that position. You see that big guy over there? I call him number one. We get each other, man.
But yeah, so the admiral's like, oh, so I guess he didn't tell you, but we offered him the chair for the Melbourne. That's awkward. And Picard's like, no, I totally knew. I would love that if he like faked the funk for a second. Oh, right. The Melbourne. Yes, Will told me all about it.
I mean, just to be clear, it is a piece of shit. I mean, we all know it. Come on now,
it's
JB.
It's a real lemon of a starship at this point.
It's the only ship, I think. Let me read this. Is that reading this correctly? Three bathrooms, one ship, three bathrooms.
It's also named after Australia, isn't it? You want my protege to be on Australian ship. Are you fucking serious?
We're a little class out of the neutral zone.
Oh my god, it's just a fucking crew entirely made up of Australian people.
I would turn that down immediately.
But so yeah, this dude also drops some knowledge that this is the third time that they've offered Riker the captainship, and he's turned it down, and the dude is basically like, look, I'm not going to keep coming back. There's a bunch of other commanders rising up the ranks behind him that are awesome, including fucking Shelby, who will be a captain in her own time. So, right. Like, maybe you want to have a little word to your fella there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's got a bit of yellow belly, does he?
Now, Jean-Luc, I don't usually share these kinds of, but during his last interview for a captain position, he did refer to you at one point as Daddy Picard. And I don't know what to make of that. I'm still, you know, I'm dealing with my own feelings about hearing that. But
yes, I regret spanking him that first time he disobeyed me.
As you should, John.
But so we get to a little poker game here that Shelby is playing. And this is kind of awesome because it is everybody dumping on Wesley Crusher.
Of course.
Oh, it's so great.
That
he's
dumb
like,
fuck.
He's like, oh, Mr. Data, it appears that you've got, you know, whatever. And Data is just like, hey, Ensign Crusher, as the lowest ranking and new person at the table, shut the fuck up about it.
Hey, new fish, keep your mouth shut.
It's so awesome. And then, like, Wesley, you know, he's going up against Riker, and, you know, it's like, oh, does Riker have the flush? Is he bluffing? Whatever. And Wesley folds, and Geordi's like, damn, kid, you are a fucking piece of shit at playing this game.
Oh, yeah, I want more of this. I want Riker to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pour myself a nice glass of beer. How about a nice glass of milk for you, Wesley?
Milk
for you? Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets Romulan ale but you, fuckface.
Hey, let's all talk about our first sexual experience. Oh, you can't do that yet, can you, Wes?
Yeah, you know, bummer. It's funny. It's you're the only one that still lives in their mom's house, technically.
Oh, well, I mean, we could talk about sexual, you know, times and all that. Well, let's talk about your hands there, Wesley. How are your hands doing? Are you keeping them moisturized?
Yeah. They're going to get hairy if you keep doing that.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'm going to light up this cigar. Why don't you light up a nothing, you little twerp?
Here's a candy cigarette for you, kid.
Oh my lord!
But Shelby outbids him. You know, he's bluffing, and she could tell. Like that pisses Riker off. She's just getting under Riker's skin here.
And also, like he's bluffing this flush. She fucking wins with two pair.
Yeah.
Wesley would have won.
Wesley would have won. That's right. He had three jacks. Coward. So he's pissed off about that. And then so it's like, all right. There's going to be an away mission at dawn. You know, we'll see you there. And Riker goes to beam down with Worf, and he's in the fucking transporter room. And O'Brien's like, oh, yeah, Shelby beamed down with Data like an hour ago. And this dude's seeing red. Seeing fucking red. And I got to say, what's awesome about these two episodes, among many things, is Jonathan Frakes' like pissed off face.
Oh, yeah.
Is incredible. It's and this great. Dude's mad for the entire 90 minutes. It's awesome.
What's interesting about this episode, this very rarely comes up in this show, is like, yes, obviously, like, these people, if they are the best of the best, they would be continuously being poached for better positions. Like,
right.
That would happen in all, I mean, in all workplace sitcoms. Like, you don't work at the same place for 7 to 10 years at the exact same position. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Eventually, you would like a promotion, and or you wind up leaving for a promotion for somewhere else.
Especially in a future military-esque situation, that is all about, like, how quickly you move up. Where do you stay? These things matter in these situations. And, like, a guy like Riker, yeah, it's weird that you haven't. It is Daddy Picard. Like, I mean, that is kind of is it at the end of the day. But, like, you wonder why he wouldn't take it, at least for a day or two.
Well, because I think the other thing, too, though, is, like, he's kind of just waiting for Picard to retire and get killed. And then it's like, then I'll have the flagship of the fleet.
Yeah, it's about the, I guess it is about the ship, ultimately.
Well, yeah, it's your, you know, do you want to be the, do you want to be Scottie Pippen of the Chicago Bulls or somebody like the worst person or Dikembe Mutombo on the Denver Nuggets? You know what I mean? You're putting up good numbers, but nobody gives a shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's your team. Congratulations. But
I don't want to leave the Enterprise. I mean, we're the only ship in the fleet that constantly has this camera crew following us everywhere.
I don't know why Riker turned down the captain's position on our newest ship, the Newark.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scott's Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Newark. Oh, man.
Oh, with apologies to New Jersey. So Riker, like, kind of chews her out for leaving early. She's got some bullshit excuse about the weather, whatever. But she does confirm. She's like, look, took some soil samples, can confirm. This was the Borg. Yes. So we do have a little Picard, like, getting the update from Riker about this or whatever. And then Picard being like, so, Mr. Riker, what do you think about old Shelby there? What do you think about the Shelbster, as I've taken to calling her? And they have this nice, like, you know, she's brash, takes chances, blah, blah, blah. Oh, much like a young lieutenant commander was when I promoted him to my first officer.
Before your balls went missing on this ship somewhere.
You think you'd grow that beard, you'd be a tough guy, but you're not.
She just walks in there and she walks all over you, man. I've been watching it. You just, I do think part of it is because when they first, like, Shelby and Riker meet, it's in, like, her quarters that he shows her there. And I do kind of think, like, in almost any other situation, you have a female commander, a female captain, any kind of character in a room with Riker, they're fawning over him in some way.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, this was the first one where that was not it at all. Like,
which is good. Yeah.
It's good, number one, but you kind of get that part of that is probably what's pissing Riker off, I kind of think. Is
definitely.
That, like,
but, I think you're totally right, but also, like, you got to, Will Riker, you got to look a couple moves ahead here, right? Like, this lady would just as soon bang a Borg than bang you, dude. And that's just a little too crazy even for Riker.
Ooh.
Well, I don't think they're pushing enough to find out really, because, like, what does she say? It's like foot, like, traces or something? Like, she doesn't even really explain what it is they...
Oh, there's, like, trace minerals that in the soil that point to the Borg or whatever.
Nonsense.
Yes.
But so the idea of fucking a Borg, Chris, do you think they have, like little vibrators and rabbits on their hands and shit?
I mean, absolutely. They can probably get those added on for sure, but I think it's much like the R2-D2, you know, with the ship, his girlfriend, the ship.
Right.
I think it's mostly like that.
They're just fucking the cube.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have to like reproduce biologically, which is great. You don't have to worry about wrapping it
That's
up.
That's so cool. Like you can just like stab a guy and put a fucking goggle on his head, and that's your reproduction. I could do that. Raising a child, not so much.
Yes. Well, I do think that like this episode, or next episode rather, does confirm that like these guys are just wearing pants. You know what I mean? Like you think that they're like full. No, these. It's just. Oh, it's mostly an outfit, honestly.
They like to walk and talk tough, but it's mostly pants.
I mean, and you think you got to know that those things are disintegrating over time. At some point, they are just going to be naked.
And I kept telling the man, pants are futile. I'm taking them off anyway. We still got those bio bits, if you know what I'm saying.
So we're in engineering. We're doing a little bit of a brainstorming sesh here. We got Shelby with Jordy, Wes, and Data talking about, you know, can we modify this or that? We don't have time to modify the weapons to fight the Borg or whatever. And they kind of reach a little bit of a stopping point here. Jordy or Wesley, someone has the first, I think it's Wesley, goes like, my brain feels like clay. And I was like, oh, God, that's a fucking horrendous image. And Riker, it's awesome. Riker's like, all right, everybody, it's time for bed. I say we all go get a good night's sleep, and then good old Shelby's like, well, actually, Commander, with your permission, I'd like to stay up and keep working with Lieutenant Commander Data. She brings up a couple times how Data doesn't have to sleep, and I'm like, you're exploiting this robot, dude. Please. He's got other science experiments to do.
I mean, this is, to be fair, this is Riker's problem. He gave her Coca-Cola at 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, well, right, I mean, after a pizza party, that's not smart.
Data doesn't need to sleep, but he does. He can just relax on the couch a little bit, binge. I'm sure
totally.
He binges occasionally.
I was in the middle of season 6 of Everybody Loves Raymond. And if you can believe it, this week, Raymond is dealing with his parents.
Captain, it's illogical that he would live right next to his parents if they argue so much. Well, yeah, Data, that's the fucking show, man. It wouldn't be a fucking show if they didn't live next to... Oh, God, you don't understand anything.
Then we wouldn't have Peter Boyle. Why am I watching the show if I'm not watching it for Peter fucking Boyle?
we find out here that there is a... Admiral Hansen comes back and he's informing them of the USS Lalo made contact with the Borg, and like the ship, like after saying, hey, we've made contact with the Borg, has not been heard from since. And right around here is where I noticed it, man. Because there's so much eeriness and mystery about this episode, we get the eerie and mysterious score that TNG, you know, gets out every once in a while. And this music is so awesome.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, because I mean, much like the last episode with the Borg, the first episode with the Borg, rather, is there's that thing about the Borg, which is like, you are not prepared for these dudes. Like, you are just nowhere near able to even fucking put a hit on these guys. And... it's freaky deaky to have that kind of an enemy, you know?
And, you know, last time I said, Q, come on and help me already. And this time, I can't say it again. I can't beg him twice.
That'd be funny if he just did it like, Q, come on.
That's what I would do. I'd be like, where's my omnipotent fellow? Come on.
There's not going to be any more human experiments if I'm a fucking Borg, man. Let's do this.
I'll let you put it in my butt.
Okay, what would he respond? Q is the greatest being that's ever been. Come on, you prick. Come on.
Oh, I got a
come
better
on.
Idea. Ooh, better idea. Q couldn't get me out of this jam, right?
Not even Q could do it.
It would be awesome if, like, they just, like, got Delancey for a fucking 2-second cameo, and he pops in, and he's just like, nice try, Picard, and just blasts away, and that's the end of
it. He's in a Hawaiian shirt with a suitcase.
Definitely. I'm on vacation.
No, he's dressed like exactly like the genie at the end of Aladdin. He's got the goofy hat on.
Picard, this is more of this, like, Picard... the nervousness, you know, him like wandering the bridge right here is kind of awesome. Like, he's just totally shitting his pants. And this is where we get, you know, Worf is like, oh, there's a ship really hauling ass, to intercept us here. We get it on screen. It's the Borg cube. Amazing music swell when Picard goes, you know, contact Starfleet.
Yes.
Let them know we have engaged the Borg.
Awesome. We've engaged the Borg. We haven't set up our wedding registry yet. So wait on that, but save the date.
It's a bunch of pictures of us in a field with a lot of dead leaves. You know, it's fall. It's quite beautiful.
Yes, yes, that is the vacuum we want from Target. Thank you.
Oh, no, yes, and we hired the Borg sister-in-law to take the pictures, of course. She's very good. She knows magic hour and all that stuff.
Her whole head is a camera.
And yes, Data, you can DJ.
Oh, yeah, he'd knock up some of those bridesmaids, right?
Yes.
Data knocking someone mm-hmm. up? I don't know about that.
But, like, let's say, like, so I know, like, the Borg Queen, him and... They got it on, right? Let's not mince
words. She gave him that forearm job in the movie.
Yeah, right. But like if he shot his computer stuff in her, would like maybe a little computer come out of her somewhere?
Well, it's possible, Eric, but like
Thank
whatever
you.
Does
Thank
whatever
you, Chris.
But whatever happens, it's gotta go Alien Resurrection style. Please kill me.
Yep.
Please
yep.
kill me.
I love that guy. He was so cute.
So it's kind of awesome. Worf is like, Captain, they're hailing you. And he's like, what, hailing me? Yes, sir, you have a personal phone call with the Borg right now.
Fuck. I was busy. I'm going to the bathroom. I have to go to the bathroom.
I'm in a meeting.
I'm sorry, I have to comb my hair. Yes, I have hair now.
Picard, you are on screen. We can see you.
This is Lieutenant Commander Worf. Can I take a message?
I mean, I would.
Okay, resistance is futile. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Repeated? You want me to repeat that several? Okay, that's fine.
And this is from the Borg. All right, that's a B O. Is there an umlaut above that O? So no, it's just Borg. Got it.
Surrender yourself, or we'll destroy your ship. Should a computer people be using contractions like that? No.
Should they call back a manager or a supervisor or just the Borg? Okay, just the Borg. Okay.
Am I gonna need like a case number for him to recite back to you? Is there a number I can have?
You know what? Let me just put you right through to the help desk.
Help sure. desk, how's it going?
Oh, I'll open a ticket on that. Oh, and you're draining the shields. Okay, I'll open a ticket on that.
You know what? I'm gonna put you on hold. Do you want us to call you back when the slot has opened?
Could you share your screen, Borg? Thank you.
Oh, no, they've seen all the pornography tabs we have open.
It's amazing. When the hail does actually happen, the screen that comes up, it's like the background of, it's like a Fear Factory album
yes,
cover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, oh, it's God. So yeah. That's so fucking ridiculously accurate. Yes, it is.
It's so silly.
And that's a map painting that they will use repeatedly
oh,
when,
sure.
when showing it, the baby. Interior of the Borg cube. Or cubes, I should say, throughout the series.
I do love the Borg cube yeah. in general. Just seeing that
Hell
guy
yeah.
hang out again. I love that dude.
It's great, dude. I remember in my... it's still somewhere in the house, but it's not on display because it's incredibly pathetic. My Micro Machine collection of all the ships and whatnot that I definitely have.
That's awesome.
The Borg cube was my fucking prize oh, piece yeah. of it all, man. It's fucking awesome. So yeah, they're, you know, doing the whole, you know, demanding the Enterprise surrender immediately. Geordi tries to like recalibrate some weapons so they can fight them. It doesn't work. And these motherfuckers start, we are told, and this is a weird thing to hear it said on Star Trek, cutting into the hull,
yes.
into the hull, like a bandsaw or something.
Well, they do say specifically he needs to surrender himself. And they're
Correct.
Like, well, what is that? What the fuck? Why are you so obsessed with me, man?
Oh, that's kind of sad, dude. I'm just a guy.
I'm gonna be honest with you. This is pick me behavior. It's very disgusting.
Yo, Mr. Worf, mute it for a second. Aren't these guys lame?
I know we don't have money anymore, but rent free in this guy's head.
Wow, a bunch of fucking tryhards over here, man.
I don't know, dude. When he takes that shirt off, I understand why.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah you can mm-hmm. be our king.
Yeah, I'll put a little whizzy fan on that guy's hand.
So we are told wildly after that the attack by the Borg, 11 dead and 8 missing
yeah.
due to this hull breach.
I could use a body or something like that.
A body like floating by the view screen.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely.
Put the windshield wipers on, Geordi. Just do.
Oh, Red, I can't see anything. All these bodies are here. You know what, Data? Please, wish whoosh. Let's go.
I will say, special effects technology has become so much cheaper that, we have seen people like sucked out of things here and there in like some of the Trek movies, I believe. But like, there was one that just happened on Strange New Worlds a couple weeks ago, and I was like, holy fuck, people are dead.
Yeah.
It looked awesome.
That's my, this August, I got to get on that show.
You got to do it,
dude.
I got to
stop fucking,
It's 10 episode seasons. You're in and you're out. So Picard gives, there's a great thing where he's trying to like get closer to the screen, and Shelby's like standing behind Data where he would normally stand. And Patrick Stewart, amazing actor, like doesn't, they didn't even have to have Picard say anything. He just goes up to this lady and kind of puts his hand on her shoulder, just like, and gives her a real like, get the fuck away from where I stand. Come on, Shelbster, move over.
If I can touch you, you're too close, okay? There's a bubble, around the captain.
But she does have some good ideas, something. If you rotate the frequency, you'll be able to use it more often.
Different for the for the rays. Like,
yes,
for
phasers
and everything like that. Like,
and the shields as well.
She like goes up, I think, directly to Wesley and tells him to do that. And like, right after that, Riker's hands are right around her neck and just being like, think this is a game?
You don't take Wesley away from me. I'm the only one who'd be able to yell at him.
All right, look. Only I can treat him like shit, okay?
Exactly.
Well, all right. Me, Geordi, Picard definitely. Worf gets in on it sometimes. Data, too. Yeah, his mom when he doesn't clean his quarters. But I mean, you can't.
You should really listen to what this kid says sometimes. It's... You need an army to fucking keep this kid in check.
Social skills, abysmal, but he's a genius, and it's very frustrating.
Did we talk about the great line of this episode? What the hell are you still doing here?
Oh, that's a while back when they're having the discussion about why Will has not accepted promotion. Yeah, what the hell are you still doing here?
I kept docking your pay. I figured you'd quit.
I gave you fewer hours each week, man.
I mean, if Picard says that to you, you kind of do have to leave.
Yes,
then.
You do,
I don't know
yes.
how you stay after you. So the guy says something like that to you. I guess, you save him from being a Borg. I guess all bets are off.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, I would still be like, you know what? I'm going to get on the Newark. I'm going to get on the Albany. I'm going to get on the Melbourne.
I do appreciate the Troy scene with him at 10 forward where it's where she's just like, what do you actually want? You seem much more yourself now. You're confident. Like, you're happy here. Like, who says you got to be captain? Or who gives a shit?
Exactly.
I mean? Like, it's a cool little scene. I like that a lot.
Yeah, no, it is a nice moment. It's one of those great, like, we're just being Deanna and Will talking to each other.
And she's gonna, and also, quiet. By the way, nobody gets paid. There's no money. Like, it's the same shit. You can go to the replicator, get whatever you want.
I will say,
and it's less hours.
I will say, after Troy tells Riker that he can't be on the away team. Then that happens. I do. I like that Troy and Riker have this situation where they can talk. But after that, after I say yes to that, I'd be like, we have to talk about what our relationship is. this is getting really weird that we're this close and I'm now listening to you even though I'm in charge. Like, I found that a little striking, that moment.
Yeah. They decide to hide in this nebula for a little bit where the cube won't be able to
track
them down.
Classic Star Trek move. Classic Star Trek move.
Let's go hide in the cloud for a bit.
Pocket behind the cloud over there. They won't find us in the cloud.
I mean, specifically, so in like four episodes of the latest season of Picard, we're fucking around in a big fart cloud.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Does that cloud have bisexual lighting like this does?
No, it has a life form that gets birthed inside it, though, which is pretty cool.
Let's see, bisexual do that? Oh, they do that.
Oh. Oh, quite often, it seems.
Oh, really?
Oh, they do all the stuff. Oh, wow. Okay.
All the stuff.
I do really dig the design of this nebula, though.
It's cool.
It's awesome.
Nice.
It's like a cover of a prog rock album or some shit. So they're hiding in there for a little bit, and yeah, we're modifying the deflector dish to try to blast these fuckers out of the sky. And this is where Shelby suggests, and this again, it's very much a movie thing, so much so that they do it in Generations and a couple times on the show. But she suggests separating the saucer section from the battle part of the ship, so the Borg have two targets, and Riker, you know, strikes it down or whatever. And this lady runs right to Picard.
Oh, yeah.
What a move. My God. Come Power on. Play. You went over his helmet twice now.
Riker, I would be ashamed. I would be getting on the Melbourne right about now after something like happens. Because, like, yeah, she just does it. She doesn't even think twice about it.
And she says specifically, like, you're in my way.
Yes.
Which is
yes.
kind of a fucking dope awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Yep.
It's so weird that she doesn't come back as a character. She's, you know, she's a good actress, and I think that this is a cool character. Like, seeing her, like, it would be kind of a cool thing to even pick this up again. Like, maybe she's the captain of the ship, and, like, next season, and, like, Riker's like, fuck, that looks kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's the thing, Steve. She's too powerful. Mm. That's you can't bring her back, because then she'll take over the whole damn thing.
Can I tell you about a little something about just hearing the word Shelby over and over again? Like, Eric, you have the Clausser thing, which is a House Hunters thing. You saw it on House Hunters.
House Hunters International, obviously.
Yes. On a different episode of House Hunters International, something, it was a couple that they were flying over, and it was like, you know, and the lady's just like, but the problem is, the complication is, what will happen to their pets? Shelby and Mr. Jiggers. And for the rest of my life. And Jen and I have been yelling about Shelby and Mr. Jiggers for years. It's just a great turn of phrase. Every time I go, oh, and it's Shelby and your friend, Mr. Jiggers. Hello.
By the way, according to IMDb, she does come back in Picard on season 3, one episode as Admiral Elizabeth Shelby.
That makes sense. Yeah,
entirely. It's entirely possible that I didn't put two and two together. When
exactly.
I was watching
now it makes total. I know who she is. She's like this. She has a couple. Yeah, she has a strong thing, and she is fighting the Borg again. It's kind of cool, but you know. But I did not put it together. No.
Ooh. See, now another reason for me to rewatch that again. Very cool. It's a real, you're in my way. And she also says that Riker can't make the big decisions.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm.
Oof. Get fucked,
You can
Will.
Only make little decisions.
Yep.
Like,
she's right.
What song do I play on the trombone tonight?
it's just whap, whap, whap over and over again with this episode, at least.
You know, why don't you fucking go in your room?
Yeah.
Blair on the trombone and eat some catfish gumbo, you fuck, while I take care of the Borg.
What is he eating gumbo for?
I don't know. He's a big old Nolans, big jazz man.
Oh, but he's from the hills of Montana.
It's true.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We get the great scene. This is right where we're at with Picard and 10 forward, and here's the whoopster as Guinan.
She
10
has
forward
line,
after
like,
hours.
She's got this one line. It's like, you know, everyone here in 10 forward thinks that they're gonna die tomorrow.
Oh, she says that to Riker.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm getting myself confused.
It is great though. She's like,
just thought you should know. This is the fucking the word going around 10 forward is everyone thinks we're gonna die.
I do have to be clear, Riker. It's not. I'm, you know, yes, I'm trying to encourage you to get the spirits up, but really, you know, when they say fucking like there's no tomorrow, it's happening in 10 forward. Yes, everyone's doing it.
Mm-hmm. I'm used to being asked often for alien drugs. I'm being asked by everybody for alien drugs now.
So I hope,
and I think they all want to just ship off right about now.
I hope you'll enjoy fighting the Borg tomorrow while everyone's hungover and cum drunk.
Yes.
But there's some cool shit here where he's like, oh, it's a bit of a tradition, the captain touring the ship before battle. And she's like, isn't that especially reserved for like no-win scenarios, accepting your own death? And he's like,
Not every time.
99 times out of 100, yes. And do I believe that that's happening? Yes. I believe maybe. We're all dead.
And it's kind of awesome, dude, because this is such a heavy moment. And I think, like, because it's a TV show, you kind of just, like, have the scene and move on in a lot of ways. But, like, Picard is literally standing there, like, with his line, you know, this is just another page in history, isn't it? He's, like, the book of history is about to be turned, like, page is about to turn on, like, everything that we've built. And whatever comes next, we will not be a part of it because we're all going to be destroyed by these people.
Exactly.
Like, is that the moment we're at? Like, it's such a heavy fucking thing.
Like, he's touring the ship because it's like, well, it's good to be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Even, like, she's like, you know, even if 100 or so humans survive, humanity will survive. And he's like, that's a very small number, actually.
Yeah. You'll not only will you survive, but you'll come out on top.
Yes.
It may take a millennia or so.
Yes.
And he's like, sounds great, Guinan.
I mean, I was thinking about it, and we get shot, the spaceship would just be falling in space forever, right? like we would all die of shock, but just the thing's just going to keep on going. Like, I can't stop thinking about that. Maybe I want to die, Guinan. I don't know.
That's the thing I was actually thinking about when they were in the nebula is, like, you know, often or, you know, I think always on this show, it's like, yep, we have to go straight this way or turn around or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, anybody ever think about driving down?
Yeah, dude.
Like, what's going on down?
Hundreds of miles down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have, like, a Tom Cruise in Top Gun-esque, like, fly who's like, I got a new idea. Down. That's his only trick, is that he actually aims it down.
But that, you think, resistance is futile. What are they doing? Driving down. I don't understand it.
They're going under us? How's that possible?
They have no regard for their own life. You know, around here, big moment, of course. Borg start beaming aboard. Worf just opening fire immediately on the bridge, which is awesome. And then Worf and Riker both getting tossed around by these Borg like ragdolls.
It's great.
Really awesome. And then this is I always loved Patrick Stewart's reaction to, like, whatever the Borg is doing to the back of his head right here, because it's like, oh, got me. Oh, got me.
I should have paid attention to that zip tie on our rear, on our side mirror. It meant I was going to be human trafficked.
Oh, he'll never find out. Oh, found the soft spot. There we go.
But Picard kidnapped by the Borg and vanished. And then the Borg, we're told, this is, you got some awesome Dorn in this these two episodes, too. He's like, you know, the Borg cube has set course for Terran space, Earth.
I do
really
love he
awesome.
Puts in the international area code 0001, which is important. That's, you know, that's us, you know.
That's right.
We invented the telephone system, so that's us. I mean.
Did we get a new calling card from AT&T? We need to put the numbers in first.
Otherwise, this is costing us a fortune.
Now it's Riker's show, man. We got to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And we've got Picard over on the Borg cube. It's kind of awesome. He straight up tells them, like, to go fuck themselves, you know. And the Borg are like, you know what? We're going to use you as our voice, you know, our mouthpiece to basically, like, welcome all of our human people that we're about
to
assimilate.
So I'm going to be, like, Clippy.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like you're trying to take over humanity. Could I help you?
Why do I keep on writing this red line under things? I keep doing it?
To be assimilated, just stay still. Stop typing, okay?
Now, where do you think I vanish off to when you're done with my help, huh? Do I have a house that Clippy goes to? Where do I come from?
Is it made of paper clips? Is Clippy's house a paper clip house?
Does he have a rich inner life?
Probably not. Although, what I wouldn't give for at least one wisecracking Borg who'd be like, Talk shit all you want, motherfucker. I'm putting an iPad in your head, and you're going to be one of me. How about that shit? How about that?
So you're suggesting a sassy Borg.
Yes, I guess sassy is more what I'm thinking. Yeah, I want someone to talk back a little bit to him when he's being all proud and shit.
Chris, once they get Earth, then they can get all those attributes, right? Unlocks the sass. Ooh.
Oh, man, yeah. They just watch all of, like, 80s action movies and the entire Fast and Furious franchise. Come dumb as shit. It would be great.
Yes, yeah. And then they self-terminate because they watched all those movies. Yeah.
They set up a great kind of cool thing here, which is they're chasing them at, like, 9.2 warp or whatever, like the highest warp. When they stop, if they can make them stop for even a second, they can probably blast them with this thing that Shelby thinks is just going to be gangbusters, right, from saucer section, which doesn't, spoiler alert for the next episode, doesn't work out.
Oh, when they modify the deflector dish?
Yeah, the deflector dish. Yeah, it's like that's what we're kind of waiting for, and once that happens, we can maybe send an away team. It's kind of a cool, like, a lot of tension towards, like, these two things.
Yes, and so Riker immediately just wants to, he's like, all right, I'm leading an away team over here. And this is the part, Chris, that you mentioned where Troy's like, you're the captain now and you need to stay here because we're like literally at war. You can't be jumping off the ship. Shelby's the one that has to go. And she kind of walks by Riker like looking at Troy like, thanks, sis. And Riker just fucking, his face is as red as his uniform.
Yes. Oh, he's about to pop. He's about to pop right there.
Usually I'm the one that gets to go do stuff.
I like doing stuff. Yeah, exactly.
But so they go over. It's Shelby, Worf, Bev, and Data checking things out. And Beverly comes up with the idea of, like, she makes this, like, weird mosquito analogy. Yeah. And she's basically like, what if we, like, destroyed some things to distract them?
Right. They would be annoyed enough to, like, stop for a second and scratch, and then you can attack.
Yes, exactly. Poke the tender area, and they might scratch, is what she says. So the Admiral, meanwhile, back on the Enterprise, is communicating, and he is telling them all about what is now the very famous Wolf 359. The whole, you know, most of the fleet's going to, yeah, make a stand at Wolf 359.
Oh, yes, that's the home system of the werewolf planet, of course.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes, Castle Wolfenstein. I can see it from here.
Lycanthropia. I love it. It's a nice vacation spot.
Dude, we need some fucking wolf people on Star Trek.
Thank you. Cool. That's all I need.
Yes.
Dude, how about this? You could get them in an episode where whatever crew on whatever show goes to Planet Halloween Town.
Yes.
And it's just a planet made up of Earth Halloween obsessives.
Star Trek needs to pick up this slack because the Star Wars Special Edition removes the wolf people.
No, thank you.
How dare you? If anything, add them.
That's disgusting. Lack Sivrak is removed in the Special Edition?
That's right, yeah.
What did they replace him with?
Column? No, your pal... Goddamn, what was his name? Salos the Markash or whatever the fuck? The slug smoking, the vaping slug?
Oh, right.
Let me see. I'll find his name. Don't worry, folks. You know, we're going to find his name right now so that people don't be angry.
As much as I love, you know, people using drugs in Star Wars and whatnot.
Milas the Sarkin.
Yeah, okay. We should not be erasing werewolves from Star Wars.
No, certainly not. We need to be adding more.
That's right. The werewolf is so silly. Let's get this smoking slug piece of shit in here, and that won't be silly at all.
Well, you see, at the time, we didn't have the technology for a smoking
slug. Shut the fuck up! Well, yeah, clearly, if you look at it, it's clearly just a werewolf and an old-style werewolf in a space jacket. Yeah, and that's why it's awesome, George. Yep. More of that.
Yes. It's a werewolf wearing a coat, sir. It was fucking cool.
Look, that's a werewolf that listens. It looks like he listens to Italian disco. That's what I want. That's what I want in my movie.
Yeah, that werewolf's got a, you know, 6-CD changer in his trunk, all Giorgio Moroder.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we're gonna make a stand at Wolf 359, and the Enterprise, you know, it's gonna take them a long time to get there or whatever. Meanwhile, we find this is ridiculous, and this is where I was like, ooh, nude scene, because they're trying to track Picard's communicator. They find it, and like Shelby opens this drawer, and it's just his uniform and the communicator badge, and I'm like,
Nakey time.
Mr. Ooh. Wolf, they pantsed me. They pantsed me.
Oh, those dreaded Borg. Before they assimilated me, I got a mean swirly in the Borg bathroom.
I needed to see a like underwear in that drawer they open.
Oh, yeah.
Are there so you had confirmation that he's hanging brain?
Exactly.
Yeah, they act all serious when they're hailing you, but once they turn that off, they're pranksters. And they take your pants.
I was running around the cube naked for half an hour before they assimilated me.
And did you know that the Borg has a girl's dormitory? Well, that's where they left me. I didn't even know there was a girl's dormitory in the Borg, but sure enough.
They must have probed my mind for my most biggest nightmares. And the test was due, and I had a paper due, and oh my goodness.
I was forced to watch Meatballs 1, 2, 3, and 4. Will, kill me.
Every morning, the Borg wake up to the same blast of audio through the entire ship, and it just goes, panty raid!
It is. I mean, both times we raid the Borg ship, it does feel like we're sneaking over to the snooty yes. Borg camp to steal the flag.
Yeah. On the other side of the lake, dude, yes. Absolutely.
I don't know how to explain it, Will, but whenever I walk, there was just this faint thing of a man saying over... Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. And then there was a guitar lick of sorts.
Oh, and then there was this wily... It was a groundhog that was assimilated by the Borg.
Oh, yes!
Dude, if that little guy got assimilated by the Borg, he's already a robot anyway. That'd be kind of cool.
Did a little dance, yeah.
It'd be amazing.
So they start taking out all of these distribution nodes. They realize these distribution nodes are the way that the collective all communicates with each other, so they start fucking those up. The Borg start waking up, and like anytime the Borg wake up on this show, I'm like shitting my pants.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here we go. Here come the monsters.
And we get a couple of good kills, but once we start doing that, they figure out how to, you know, you set your thing, and now you have a really blocky bitmap shield that you can use to stop.
Yeah, dude, because they adapt to the phaser or whatever. Yeah.
Those, good pull on bitmaps,
no
Steve.
Problem, man.
But it totally reminds me of the shields in the Lynch Dune.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
When they're training with the shields or whatever, it's just this blocky, like,
speaking of Patrick Stewart.
That's right. Gurney Halleck himself.
Oh, I'm Gurney in this one.
So while they're like wasting all of these Borg left and right, Bev recognizes Picard right there. She's got this great like John Luke, and this is the famous Patrick Stewart turning his head, and the laser hits the camera lens and everything. Very cool moment.
I love it. No, I'm La Cutie. A Borg, a little cutie.
They're trying to make him a little cutie, dude. Because
so
I laugh at this every time. The fake abs that he's got, like he's wearing a Batman Halloween costume.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it's so awesome. It's like, hot. why would they install that?
They installed a bunch of bondage wear.
They all watched Cruising right before they got me.
Yeah, it turns out I was wearing, I guess, I had the wrong neckerchief in my pocket, and now this is happening.
I had the wrong neckerchief in my pocket, and all of a sudden the Borg started peeing on me.
I had the wrong neckerchief in my pocket, and this Borg put a fork on my hand. I was like, oh, great. I could have been a two-hander Borg, but I had the wrong neckerchief. Now I'm a fork-hand Borg.
Son of a bitch.
That's how they decide.
You shall be approved. Here is your fork hand. It's like, okay, great. I mean, I don't know. If I had another five fingers on this thing, I could do a lot more than a fork hand.
No fork.
Your job is eating.
Oh, nice. The eating Borg. I like that. I could get job.
I guess the fork is more of an R2-D2-esque like module thing.
It could
fuck other computers, I'm guessing.
Also, you probably just like give someone a nasty scar if you really wanted.
Yeah, like you're poking people with it probably. But it might be more like a tuning fork, Steve. You know, like some sort of frequency kind of thing. Yeah. But it's so great because Beverly is like communicating over to the Enterprise, and she's like, the captain's been altered, and Riker's like, altered, and Worf, who is so disgusted about this,
yes.
he just goes, he is a Borg. And I'm about to throw up.
Yes. I think if it was Worf all alone, he might have just killed him right there. And been
oh,
like,
easily.
It's better this
well,
way.
He did run at him, and there was a, you know, a force field or whatever.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're actually, Worf says that line when they're back on the bridge yes. or whatever, and Riker's like, all right, fuck it. Get ready to blow up this cube. Locutus hails, you know, and he's like, these are some great lines here. Like, your life as it has been is over. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And this is one of the greatest camera movements in all of Star Trek. You know, we have this, you know, Picard or Locutus is like, you will service us, blah, 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 resistance, yada. And the camera is on Jonathan Frakes, but it swoops around to get him head on for him to just say, Mr. Worf, fire.
Yes.
Hell of a fucking cliffhanger.
Yeah. And people have to wait, what, a whole summer or something? What was
3
this?
Months.
Wow.
3 months. Because, you know, I feel like there's no reason to have our usual break in the show.
No.
We can go right into part two, which aired, yes, November the 22nd, or excuse me, September the 22nd, 1990. So, yeah, it was a classic, like, cliffhanger.
Yeah.
We don't have the internet, you know, we don't have the ability to rewatch the entire season over again. Mm-hmm. None of that.
Yeah, and thank God.
And they don't even have, I mean, they didn't write the episode beforehand. It's not like sitting around. Nobody knew what was going to happen again for the contract negotiations. But
yeah.
I think that's sort of interesting also from the, because this thing, like the ending is like, Riker is like, Mr. Worf, fire. You're like, oh shit. And then it's like,
yeah.
oh, that did nothing. Okay.
Right.
I've been waiting
yes.
2 months.
And then,
that.
Like, see, if we had the internet and all that during this time, Reddit would have been a flutter. Suddenly they'd
yes.
be changing the script. And suddenly Shelby saying, I'm actually Shelby Picard at the end.
Oh. Oh,
I thought you smelled familiar.
And of course, your sidekick, Mr. Jiggers, has joined you.
And yes, we took out Mr. Jiggers' teeth. It made some nerds uncomfortable. I still can't believe they caved to that shit.
And it looked weird, though.
Release the teeth cut.
Yes. Sure. Release the teeth.
Definitely need a reason to watch that again.
Teeth, 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 teeth.
Whatever, that first movie's fun. So, yes, we start in Mr. Worf fire, exactly where we left off. And, yes, the whole deflector weapon idea does absolutely nothing.
Yes.
And it's actually, like, they wind up giving a reason besides, like, oh, that didn't work, because Riker's like, oh, well, this makes sense. They have Picard. They have all of his knowledge,
yes.
his years of experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he would come up with that idea too.
But still, I would bust Shelby down to Ensign.
But this and also that scene is so great when she gets promoted it to commander. You know, Worf is just like, oh, you've got to be fucking kidding me. That deflector
oh, yeah.
shield thing was a joke.
To
a total joke.
Promoted to first officer, yeah. God.
I feel like if
how
you
the fuck long have I been? You know, I know we're in the middle of war. I'm putting in for a transfer.
Even
right
Data,
now.
The fucking computer, looks at Worf like, what the fuck is that? We're being passed over.
I think
like fucking Windows 3.1 looked over and said, what the fuck's happening?
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Worf's like, it's a walkout! It's a walkout!
Where are you going to walk, okay, Worf? Where are you going to walk?
If you got to look at Worf's palms during that scene, you would see them bleeding from the fucking Klingon fingernails just crushing into his own hands.
I do like Riker's explanation, and I guess it makes sense. Like, well, we don't need to be changing positions right now. Kind of in the middle of something.
Oh, it's always some reason. It's always some reason.
Yeah,
thank
I guess
you, Will. Thank you for the bullshit explanation. Thank you.
I guess Shelby's ancestors didn't kill Captain Kirk's son. I understand that. No, it's totally understandable. That's what we're talking about, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah. It is funny, though, because, I mean, like, Riker's shit does make sense here. Yes. He's like, I need expertise at all of these senior positions, and now is not the time to be doing that. We do get... there is a hilarious, like, when it doesn't work, and Picard or Locutus is like, your resistance is hopeless. And then, like, this is, like, the most, like, catty bitch Locutus ever becomes. He's just like, number one.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You fucking big idiot. I know your dumb nickname.
Oh, you get a little boner when I said that, but now I am Locutus, and I don't give a shit.
I mean, if he calls him Will, that would really hit him home, I think. That would really hurt him.
I am Locutus of Borg. Where's your trombone, dumbass?
Yes, oh, man. Hit him where it hurts. Where's Troy at, huh? Is she on a date?
Yep.
What if he just really goes crazy? Like, oh, I am Locutus of Borg. Let me compare you to a summer's day. Oh, actually, yeah. No, that shit's over with. No more Shakespeare. We're not doing it. I'm a fucking robot now, and I hate Shakespeare.
That's why I now love David Mamet plays.
Nothing but. American Buffalo. Top to bottom. It's my favorite play. Fucking meeting after this fucks up, like when it's J.B. Hansen at going and being like, we're not giving, you know, Jean-Luc Picard. I once watched a young runner like win a marathon against. He's a freshman and he won against like all the upperclassmen.
The Academy Marathon. Yeah,
and he was the first freshman to do it. And he's like, and for those reasons. He did not assist the Borg.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck? Are you insane?
Well, no. It's like, no, he's dead. And like, whatever happens now, that's Locutus. So.
Yes, that's the point that he's trying to make to Shelby, because Shelby's like, he's helping him out now.
Shelby's drawn up the court-martial, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's like, as far as, you know, as for Picard, a great man has been lost. And
a
so,
great
yes.
runner. A fantastic runner. We all miss him.
Just like the statue is like runner, captain, poet. And it's like everyone's like runner. The admiral was way insisted about the running. I don't know.
Oh yeah, well, because it's with his fucking fake, you know, artificial heart, dude. He gets that 26.2 like nothing.
Bingo, bingo, artificial heart. That's why he's targeted by the Borg. This guy's like a fucking cyborg already. Come on.
I also after that meeting, Worf goes up to Riker. You hear all that shit she was talking about, Captain Picard? You sure that's what you want in a number one? If I was number one, I mean, you know me and the captain went way back, and I would always speak of his name with great respect.
I'm just saying, Captain, it's rude.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. All. I'm sorry, but it would be a shakeup. You're right. It would be a shakeup, and that would be tough. It would be really tough.
I mean, you know, I'm only at that console like 4 hours a day, and there's three other guys that are just as good at me at that console.
Well, I mean
they're ready to be at that console during senior meetings. They are.
At least, I mean, you can say, you know, I should show some humility. At least the deflector shield thing worked. Yeah. At least that worked, and that gives her some credit. That gives her some credit that it worked, and we no longer have a problem.
I mean, what do I know? I was only here the only time the Federation encountered the Borg, and she like read about it in the newspaper. who's the expert here?
Oh yeah, and Commander, I bet you are Captain now. Excuse me, but I guess you weren't ready for this Klingon sarcasm. It's real and it's intense.
It's got some fucking teeth on it, sir.
But yeah, so we have that meeting. Shelby is made first officer. We do, yeah, the look between Dorn and Spiner is fucking hilarious. And then so we're trying to like come up with ideas. Bev suggests a kind of a cool thing, like let's get some nanobots in there and fuck them up. Yeah. And Riker's like, wow, that sounds really awesome. How fast can you do that? And she's like, oh, well, it would take 6 or 8 weeks. And like, he doesn't say it, but I wish he'd turn around and be like, then why bother suggesting it?
No, Troy gets a little nasty here. She's like, in 6 or 8 weeks, all that'll be left of us are those stupid fucking nanobots.
Oh, you're right.
But at the same time,
what a dumb idea. And I'm usually the nice one. What a dumb fucking idea. Literally, humanity is hanging on by a thread, and you're talking about 6 fucking weeks, Beverly?
It's a good idea for the future, at least. They should be throwing some little robots and stuff in the future.
No, maybe, maybe that now that Picard is gone, maybe his girlfriend should go too. Okay, I'm just saying what we're all thinking. I'm just saying it.
Oh, dude, that would be great if they all just start sniping at each other.
Yes, totally. There's going to be some staffing changes around here now that my boyfriend is captain.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she goes, I was like, you know, your boyfriend is dead and my boyfriend is captain now.
You know, dude, it's like...
I would love to hear her be that vicious.
She goes full Lady Macbeth. I like
it. Absolutely.
Dude, yeah, it would be like, what's it? Is it Laura Linney at the end of Mystic River? Like, she's got her arms around Riker just like, you see all that out there? That's all yours now. And you're the fucking king of it all. You understand me?
It's okay that you kill children. You understand that? It's okay to kill kids if you do the good thing. You understand that?
But yeah, so it's kind of a good little reaction here from Danahy as she's leaving the meeting. She shows in her face that Shelby is clearly kind of nervous about this promotion, which is great. There's a great, I like Riker in Picard's ready room asking the empty chair, like, what would you do about this? Very Clint Eastwood of him, I have to say.
And she's, one of the things he does say to her is like, you know, you can... I love that you keep me on my toes, and you're ready to tell me that I'm fucking up every time. And
right,
like, yeah, you're fucking up right now. Dude. Oh, you want to hear it? Oh, you want to hear it? You want to hear it? You're fucking up right now. Right now, you're fucking up.
What you just did back there, fucking up. What you're doing right now, fucking up. What you're probably going to do in 10 minutes, hey, let me take a wild Klingon guess, fucking up. Oh, this is more of that Klingon sarcasm. Eat my ass.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't worry, I'm writing all this down. I've got it all. I've got it itemized. I got the time and date, baby.
Ass is grass, Riker. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it is great, though. So she's like, you know, Guinan comes in here. And I love how annoying. He's pretty tired of it immediately. He's like, listen, I don't know what you had with the last guy, but this is not happening on my watch. You know what I mean?
Especially sitting in my fucking chair.
Yes.
Which is a great move by the Whoopster. But, you know, it's kind of a nice moment. She's like, you have to let go of Picard. You know, he's been my fucking ride or die for as long as possible, but I've accepted that he's gone.
She mentions that they had a connection beyond friendship, beyond family. So you know what that means.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Oh, and your little fucking pervert mind. Yeah, I know exactly.
Oh, no. I think that means they fucked for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I could not disagree.
Ooh, here we go. I'm steeping the team.
Wow. Hey, Riker, you ever fuck a 600-year-old woman? Pretty wild, man.
She taught me things.
We're talking like Stifler's mom level stuff here.
Oh, wow. A real education, Will.
A real gear of a god entity I'd like to fuck.
Oh, yes.
She, you know, she does make a great point. She's like, this is harder on you because he's not dead. He was taken and assimilated. It would be easier if he was actually killed in this whole thing. And she's got a great line here, too, you know, because he's like, well, Captain Picard wrote the book on the Enterprise. And she's like, well, if the Borg knows everything he knows, then it's time to throw that book away.
Mm-hmm.
That is now your chair, Captain. Just that, like, primo Guinan advice that only the Whoopster could deliver.
Yeah, like, don't try to do what Picard would do, because Picard knows what he would do. Yeah,
and I want to see, exactly. It doesn't happen, because almost immediately he gets called. Like, he sits, then he does sit in that chair, which looks horrible, by the way. You get a real look at it, it's just an office chair,
mm-hmm.
But the what do you call it there? The arms are way too high up. Like, you know what I mean?
The cushioning does not look like it's going to really sustain a long sit either, I'll be honest.
That wall-to-wall carpeting, you're just asking for stains.
It's just embarrassing for, like, the flagship of the fleet to just have such shitty chairs everywhere.
It looks like
I get it, like, the Bridge of Voyager. Like, the Voyager, you know, was always, like, a smaller, lesser, kind of not flagshipy ship. And, like, that bridge is the worst bridge in Star Trek. It's it's cheap. It's awful. The chairs are straight from fucking Office Depot. You know what I mean?
I mean,
but we're talking the Enterprise, baby. Come on.
It looks like a Ramada in conference room or something.
It does. It's unfortunate that Raymore and Flanagan won the furniture wars.
Yeah, so
they were the last people. They're the ones who designed everything in Starfleet.
But Riker doesn't have long to sit in the chair because this is, we get the word that the Enterprise has entered the Wolf system. And yes, the battle at Wolf 359 is long over. Every single, we're told the Admiral says that they are sending 40 starships to engage the Borg, and not a single one of them has survived here. No life signs.
Including the Melbourne, actually.
Yep. Oh, no. Yep. And it's kind of rad, dude, because like Riker has that moment of like, oh, fuck, did I just get Final Destination? Like, if I had taken that job, I would have been on that ship already, and I'd be fucking dead.
Wait, wait, wait. Did that ensign also always sound like Tony Todd? Or is that new? Is that a new thing? You, Eric, to your point, if ever we need to be, like, getting corpses hitting the fucking front. I mean, this is just an ocean of dead bodies in front of this fucking ship.
Oh,
It's Starship Troopers. Like you can't get through it. Like
it is. I mean, this carnage shot is fucking great.
It is cool though. Yeah, despite the lack of little bodies floating around, which I understand why they didn't include.
A piece of a ship just bounces against the ship, which is amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really, really fucking cool. And like, it's cool in this moment, you know, because you so rarely see. I mean, Picard, they gave it to you a couple of times on the show. Like more than like two or three starships hanging out at once, but like here on TNG, like you don't get that often. And so even though they're destroyed, it is very cool seeing all the different models in the various stages of destruction. There's definitely one that's still on fire, and I was like, if this was made a little more in the future, you would get like a little explosion effect there. They'd computer in a little like boom kind of thing. But yeah, that's total fucking carnage. And Riker's like, hey, Shelby, why don't you get that plan together? The whole thing about separating the ship and whatnot. Yeah, we're totally fucked. And this is, he's got like, this is a cool, he's like, Data, Worf, I've got a special mission for you.
Well, he's got all the answers. And I don't know when he does it, but he brings up the Riker playbook because everything Wes is doing later on is like Riker maneuver 8.5 or whatever.
I think if you're like kind of a big wig, like I think it's like a commander and up, maybe it's like, oh shit, I could be promoted to captain at any time possibly. You're spending like Saturday nights kind of like coming up with stuff, you know, or like he's listening to some old like jazz band and just kind of like tooling around with maneuvers.
Well, see, that's why I would never be very good at Starfleet, because yes, I would be a commander, and then they're like, all right, dude died, Steve, it's time for your maneuvers. Oh, those, well, you're supposed to be doing 12 a month, right? You have all these. Nobody's checking on those, so.
Activate SADC Tears of the Kingdom maneuver beta.
That's where you sit down, right? You just because you're playing the video game.
You just
that's right, already. That's right. Oh, this is just a video of you beating the sand temple, Captain.
Great, that doesn't help us exactly.
I always love it when we go down to the fucking battle bridge, dude. So here's Riker with a bunch of no names on the battle bridge. They hail Locutus, and this Riker starts like his little plan here, you know, talking to Locutus about like, oh yeah, just gotta give some time for you to come over here, maybe do some negotiation, figure out the whole submitting to your request thing. And Locutus is like, yes, this is bullshit, man. I know everything you're doing, and you are stalling.
Negotiations are futile. Dialogue is futile.
That's right. I upgraded from hopeless to futile. It flows better.
But we do. I always love a good separating the ship. Pretty cool here. And then the saucer section and the battle section start attacking, because all this is cover so that Worf and Data can sneak out in a little shuttle, because they can't just transport the captain back over. There's Star Trek interference of some kind. They got to get right up close, and then if they break through the force field or whatever, then they can transport onto the cube, which they do from this little shuttle.
It's so great. I always love this type of stuff where it's just like, well, I was expecting the saucer section, but the luxury sedan they took out of the garage drove a car at me. Didn't see it coming.
I do love this antimatter spread, dude. Yes. Speaking of fucking Top Gun, they're just like blasting all these little fireworks at the cube, which is cool. But yeah, we get... beam over or whatever. And this is more like Worf and Data just icing these fuckers left and right.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I love that Worf gets to Picard first or to Locutus first, and they're wrestling it a little bit. He's like,
absolutely.
Data, this fork is coming up my ass, dude. What are you doing over there?
Gonna need your robot strength, man.
Data, I accidentally killed him. That was accidental. I didn't mean to twist his head like that all the way around. It's not supposed to be like that, right?
That's kind of funny, Chris, because when I was watching it, I had the thought to myself, wouldn't it be hilarious if Worf just, like, was in the groove of killing Borg and he accidentally broke his neck?
I mean, honestly, it does solve your problem. Not all your problems, but one of them.
Yeah, it would be fine.
So they get Picard, they get him back on the shuttle, and once they're away from the Borg interference, O'Brien is able to beam the three of them back onto the ship before the Borg destroy the shuttle. And, man... Wesley right here has the worst line of the entire 90 minutes where he just goes, they have him go, the saucer section's a sitting duck.
Yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck up, Wesley.
Yes, please do. Please do.
God damn.
God.
So, you know, Bev's kind of examining him or whatever back in sick bay. And
look at these enhancements, Beverly. Look at this. Ooh. I won't need that pill, the podcast ever to advertise. It's got a piston, self-actualizing robo.
That won't have to take those trips to Planet Blue True anymore.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's the thing is, wouldn't you want to be Borg? The perfect marriage of technology and flesh. This is what we've all been marching towards.
It's the fork hand, though, that really, really gives me pause.
I know, but think about it. Like, you know, sometimes a restaurant doesn't bring the silverware out in time.
That's a good point.
And I got to have all this shit on my face? No, thank you. No.
You already
no,
have
no.
shit on your face. It's
yeah, but that's my shit. That's my shit, Eric. It's not the shit of some computer.
You'll
no,
come
thank you.
To it'll be your shit too. Just like you grow a beard. You grow a beard, that's not your shit either.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Shit. It is his shit. Couple of things. One, the smell outrageous.
What,
sure. I wouldn't be able to handle that. And also,
you mean biologically, like the biological people. Ooh, smelly.
What? Yeah. What would I? What else? I mean, the digital smell. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just saying, like regular humans have to smell worse than Borg.
No, you have. Well, it's all just they're not replacing their like flesh or whatever. So like whatever's in those rubber pants, dude, it fucking smells. Because there's no Borg bathroom. We're not showering anywhere.
But your pants, the special pants they put on, maybe sucks all the shit and piss out of you.
All right. Well, here's another thing then. If that's true.
It is true.
It's this whole thing about like, oh, we are the collective, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
How fucking frustrating finding something to watch on TV.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? It's finally no longer my problem.
Well, yeah, you're just brain dead until they ask you to come out and fix something or kidnap the captain of the most famous starship ever.
I do like being in a weird little pod and going to sleep, though. That's pretty cool.
Right? You know, you just put your head up against the fucking light bright and you're asleep.
You just go into one of those little hotels. You know, they have like the rooms like from the Fifth Element ship where you're just like in a tiny nook like that and you just slide in. Yeah, they're all over the place. You're fine. You don't got to do shit
little
like this.
Pod hotels. At least you get to lay down, though. You're not standing up like a fucking vampire.
Taking on the entire goddamn Enterprise.
I'm just saying, I would have a lot less to worry about. I'd be
sure.
I'd be coasting.
I do see the positives, Eric. I don't want to say I don't.
So Data kind of comes up with this idea that the Borg appear to still be communicating with Locutus, and that if you cut the communication, Picard could be killed, basically, is the idea. So Data instead decides, well, if they can hear him this way, maybe we can hear them the other way. And he decides to use his robot parts to basically hack the Borg network or whatever. It's kind of great. Like, while he's getting all that together, there's this really funny part where Patrick Stewart's, like, walking around Data's laboratory or whatever. And he's like, you'll all be Borg, all of you. Yes, me.
Klingon,
you'll be Borg.
Oh, yeah, you're a Borg.
I'm looking at a future Borg motherfucker right now.
Okay, you know what? That's enough. Maybe we shut down Mr. Locutus here. Maybe. Hey, Data, you want to brain fuck this guy? You want to give it a
Troy, you will look good as Borg. Yeah, that's right. I want to see that in a Borg. That's right. No, back that ass up.
Metal attachments to your cans and make them actual cans.
Oh. Captain, do we still have to listen to this? Can we please maybe get rid of this piece of shit?
So we're told, we've entered sector 001 of space. We're in Terran space. Really cool shot of the cube flying by Saturn. Yeah. I thought that was pretty sharp. I had the thought this time. It's kind of insane that Data has this whole laboratory just for his own little experiments. It is a massive piece of real estate on the starship.
He's Captain Special Little Boy. He gets to do what he wants.
That's true.
Aren't you also happy that he has it for just such a brain fucking situation where you need this?
I mean,
you need this for this situation exactly.
Well, we've seen this before. This is not the introduction of Data's laboratory.
But have I seen, like, what's another major project that went on here? I'm trying to remember last time we
When he builds that fucking child for himself or whatever.
Oh, of course.
That thing is in that chamber and most of the episode.
And that was smooth sailing for sure. As this is, of course. I mean, like, you probably do have to. Why wouldn't you just kill him? I'm like, I'm sorry. I love him too.
I would
kill
him.
You would just have to kill fucking Locutus. Mm-hmm.
But he knows. We'll learn more about the Borg, Chris. That's the only way we're going to beat him. That's the only way we're going to beat him, Chris.
Sure, I guess. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, let's find out what Picard learned. Okay, 1010, resistance is futile. Surrender now.
Oh, here's a line of code. Set a sleep alarm for them and they'll believe it.
I think this is a cool ending.
It's neat.
Yeah.
Well, they do that. They do basically the bird. They do actually what they do in Gremlins too. They put a big tarp outside. It looks like nighttime. And then all the Borg go to sleep.
Hey, they made it look like nighttime.
That would be great if they just did a giant. Now put the giant mad painting in space, and it looks like Earth, but it's not Earth.
Start spreading.
They all go in the lobby getting ready.
Yeah, they got their fork hands and their little hats on, and
yeah.
There's a great, like, Data learning so much about the Borg is kind of funny because he's clearly like fascinated by all the information that's coming into his positronic net, and there's a great processing.
Oh yeah,
processing. Oh man, love it.
And it's great too because what you call it, like, there's some stuff where, like, because it's really intense on the floor there on the bridge, and we're cutting back, but we're learning all this different stuff. And, like, Riker is just like, Data, now or fucking never. What are you doing over there?
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, this is your final update, Mr. Data.
Yes.
Meanwhile, good. Riker also, like, he's also saying that because he has told Wesley to get ready to set a course to run straight into this thing. And then he tells Geordi, he's like, hey, LaForge, get the old warp core online, will you? We're about to fucking ram the shit out of this thing. But yes, sleep, Data. Sleep, Data.
Oh, he must be exhausted.
Yeah, dumb. That was dumb. It was a dumb. I thought of that as soon as she said it, I was like, that's fucking
you
stupid.
Know the, I know the Earth's about to blow up, but I could go for a nap real quick.
If you're going to Troy, I was like, wow, yet another dumb idea by Beverly. I mean, you're 0-2 this week, Bev.
She's going to update her file, get her fucking demoted or dismissed.
Locutus, like, looks over at Troy and just goes, rear.
We're going to have to bring Pulaski back.
Please don't.
Oh, no, but let's deprogram your evil boyfriend, Beverly. Let's do that. That's a better idea.
Oh, and you want to leave the rabbit of attachment. Okay.
If you put him down on his tummy, on his back, there's a Sibian attachment.
Oh,
there.
No, there's not.
Oh, sit on my back.
Data puts the command through that they all have to recharge, aka go to sleep, just like Riker was telling everybody in part one to go to bed. Now they're going to bed. There's a great Riker goes, hey, Commander Shelby, why don't you go over to the cube and confirm the Borg are asleep. Like he's he's so like, there's got to be another word for
it.
This,
is
folks.
Funny that they like all right, you know, we do due diligence, go double check that.
Yes.
And when they get over there, they learn that not only has that worked, but because they did it at a time where it was not planned, the cube itself has registered that as a malfunction, and it just has triggered a default self-destruct mechanism. Pretty sweet here. It's not kind bad. Of it is the slightest bit cheap because it's like we don't have to kill all these beings here, because that then you'd have yourself a good old-fashioned Star Trek conflict, right? Yes. Like, yeah, sure, they're the enemy, but could we kill all these life forms?
Easily.
I love how the Borg cube operates like a Tesla. If there's a problem with it, it notices and explodes itself.
Yes. Well, that's it. The Twitter bird just got assimilated. Now it's X.
Yeah,
it cool. is X of the X.
Wow, that's
that
amazing.
X, man. Yeah. The fucking font that they look like they ripped it off a cologne bottle only worn by sex traffickers. Terrible idea. Anyway, so yes, we're gonna blow up, and it does. It, you know, Riker's got a good like, Wes, get us within, don't get us out of here, get us within safe enough range because I want to watch these fuckers go up.
Let's go there, let's get there early. I want to get good seats. I want to get right in the middle. We can't pre-buy, we can't find the seats early. Okay,
Mr. Worf, I need you to make the popcorn for all the bridge crew. This is gonna be awesome.
Give me the exact countdown because I want to yell out, how futile is that, bitch? No. When it blows up.
Resist this, motherfucker!
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would have preferred that too. I mean, like, I guess you needed to have this somber Jean-Luc exit moment here, rather than them watching it blow up and be like,
he's like coming back to his senses. He's like, oh dear Lord, I'm going to be shitting circuit boards all week.
or dealing with the amount of ensigns and lower lieutenants that killed themselves last night because I thought they were going to be assimilated.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, I'd rather be dead than assimilated.
Would that be you, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. No way.
I would be going Borg. I'd be like, yeah, Borg me up. I'm fine with
Borg
that.
Me up.
Yeah, let's see what it's like.
There's a great, you know, they ask him, like, how much do you remember? And he just goes, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Including some fancy-ass maneuvers by this new captain I heard so much about.
I also know something about something called a Borg Queen, but I'm going to keep it quiet for a couple of months. Well, and by that, I mean until the movie.
In the spank bank for now.
Oh, yes, I remember everything. You might say it's going to come up all the fucking time in the show from now on.
Like, for instance, do you know how a Borg sleeps? You see a bunch of flying toasters, and then they turn into a bunch of pipes going around in circles.
Different colors, too.
Yeah, it's like, oh, is that... Turned into that like one summary with spent abroad. Like, yes, when you were a Borg. I know. Yeah, I got it.
Did you know that the Borg eat this a little differently? They put microprocessors on it.
You know, the Borg called this a Royale with cheese.
You could go into the holodeck with a glass of beer. Not a little cup, mind you. A full on glass of beer.
See, they have the metric system. They wouldn't know what a quarter pounder is.
Oh yeah, 10-year-old Borgs are drinking red wine all the time.
But it is true, though, Cameron. This is a thing that he carries with him rest of his life, right up through season 3 of Picard.
It's such a great ending because, you know, like, it's we wrap up the Riker part of this, which is really important, which is, you know, basically he is going to stay, and like, she's like, you know, Shelby is like going to be on some Borg task force, and we'll see you in 30 years, I guess. you know, like, she's like, you know, I hope I have the pleasure of serving with you at some other point. And he's like, yeah, me too. We're friends. And they leave him alone, and he's just, it's this great fucking Patrick Stewart acting where it's like, I'm going to drink tea and let everybody know it's all right.
Right.
But he doesn't drink the tea, and he puts it down, and he's visibly unsettled. End of episode.
Of course.
Amazing.
He's got an HVAC fucking HVAC fucking like pipe or whatever up his ass, and no one took it out.
Well, he's just always like, what the fuck was with that fork, man? What the shit? What the shit was I supposed to? No one ever told me what to do with
he's
it.
He's dropping the tea because he got used to the fork.
It would be kind of great if it's like you have this nice moment, but then it's like one last scene and it's him going into sick bay and Beverly's like, oh, Jean-Luc, are you recovering okay from, you know, removing all the Borg parts from you? And he just goes, Beverly, you missed one.
I'd love
but
that.
But it's great. I mean, I love, you know, it's him looking out the window of the Enterprise. He's looking as they pass Earth. Yeah, the Enterprise gets to Earth so rarely, so this was, it's a cool fucking visual, because it's the Enterprise, you get Earth, you got the moon right there. Pretty fucking sweet stuff.
Oh, I could have blown that the fuck up. Could have assimilated
oh,
that.
The moon? Oh,
the
yeah,
moon, the Earth. Oh, Locutus had it pretty good. He had that space babe, too. I won't tell anyone about.
But yeah, that is going to do it for this two-parter on TNG here. Now, of course, there's no way to say which episode you favored, I guess. It's kind of all the same thing. But maybe just some final thoughts here. We'll go around the horn. Chris Cabin.
Oh, it's a great episode. I don't have any history. Like, I don't remember when I saw this. I definitely did see it when I was watching it originally on, like, whatever Fox channel I had. But I mean, it's a great two-parter. The first part's all set up, second part's all payoff. Worked great.
Eric Siska.
Yeah, this is amazing. I love both episodes. They work well together, obviously. And just the Borg is such a refreshing and interesting concept of, like, revamping zombies and the fear of technology. I love the Borg.
Yeah, totally. I feel the same way. It's great. It's a cool little movie with inside a TV show. You know, the Borg, they come back here and there on TNG. I don't know at all on DS9. They're all over Voyager, though, because they're out in the Delta Quadrant, the fucking home turf of the Borg. So you get a lot of them there, of course. But it's just great. It's just great. You know, it shows you what great writing and directing and acting can do for television. And just, you know, especially the fact that it's like such an awesome two-parter like this, and it's just a two-parter. It's not a 10-parter. It's not a fucking 6-parter secret invasion thing. It's a 1-2 punch. It's a full story that's written and executed impeccably, and like, you kind of just wish more TV would get hip to doing that kind of stuff again, but I absolutely love it. Steve Sadak, final words.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that, especially the two-parter bit of it, especially the two-parter bit wherein it's like, oh, fuck, what is this show going to look like in 3 months? You know what? Let's just throw a ball up in the air and know that we're going to catch it. You know what I mean? And they knew.
Yeah.
And they do. And you know what I mean? And, like, luckily everybody signs on. I mean, the idea of this show losing Patrick Stewart and continuing with just Jonathan Frakes, I mean, I still probably would have liked it. But it just wouldn't be this show. It's a weird what if. But it's kind of cool to watch them just know that they're going to catch it. Know that there's going to be a second half of this that is just as exciting as the first. And it is. And it's really neat to watch. I always love watching these early Borg episodes when, like, because the Borg, not to, you know, they never round. The cool thing is they do use the Borg sparingly in this series and in all of Star Trek enough so that they always have oomph. But always in these early episodes, especially this one, it's just like, what the fuck could we do to these guys? And the answer is like, kind of nothing. You know what I mean? Resistance is literally and actually futile. I love it. These things are super cool. You can just watch this as a little movie anytime you want. And that's what's awesome about it.
And I think to your point about throwing the ball up in the air and knowing they're going to catch it, they know they're going to catch it, but they don't know how or with whom. And I think that is like such an awesome risk that's not, you know, taken in television the same way these days. But anyway, that is going to do it for this edition of the Nexus Gang. We hope you enjoyed this two-parter. We'll be back to TOS/TNG next month. And I will say the TNG is Picard dealing with his shitty brother, Robert.
Oh, man.
So that's going to be totally awesome. We get a little Chateau Picard and whatnot. But until then, thank you for being the kick-ass Patreon subscriber that you are. And until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy. We'll be right back.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.